Hi everybody, this is Chico Alexander, and as you know, the big story of last week was LeBron returning to Cleveland after 4 years in Miami.
Oh boy. I actually think the bigger deal was actually keeping Chris Bosh myself.
And Dwayne Wade, don't forget Dwayne Wade.
Oh, did you Dwayne Wade. Look, so it's the big two and a half
Men, 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 the men, men, men.
men. So Shabazz Napier is the little kid now, right?
Yeah, Shabazz Napier's a little kid. Almost had PJ Harrison. He got traded to Charlotte, but that's another podcast. Sorry, Viara.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, Gordon, who will be here later, basically said he think because he's a big Miami Heat fan and not a bandwagon fan, mind you. Not a bandwagon fan at all.
Not at all.
And he says that he thinks Pat Riley knows what he's doing and they're going to get another title in 4 to 5 years.
I'm gonna hold that to him.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, we'll see if that's fun. It wasn't as fun as, say, somebody in the military taking $100,000 and pay the rent, but it was cool. Okay.
Yep.
Because we need to talk about that and more because.
From somewhere in America, WLTI Live on CLW83.com is on.
The following program is a CLW83.com production.
Is empty right now. Gordon Pepper, we're hoping he'll be here soon. He is, right now he's on his way to the studio, but I do have producer, panelist, recordist, and of course, the strength and conditioning coach of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast, Mr. Jason Block, helping me ably. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great, and I have one word to say. You know what
What's
that is?
that?
America. Okay.
America.
Okay, because we have a $1 million moment. Divided by 10.
Divided by 10.
Yes, okay. Now, honestly, Gordon has said this all the time, and we know this for a fact usually, that when you have a theme episode.
When you typically have a theme episode on The Price is Right, it typically underwhelms. And I'm
Right.
being kind when I say that.
Right, and this was the next to the last episode of the season because there's going to be a back to school special, I believe, on August 15th.
August 15th, you are correct. Now, usually it's one giant stink, these special episodes. This special episode was about, couldn't do any better so far as the record's concerned.
Because
Six.
it was perfect.
Perfect.
Yes. Okay.
Could not do any better.
Because you had 6 games played, 6 games won, but the biggest thing was a playing of pay the rent, which, well.
Well, okay, it was big, but at the same time, it wasn't. And hold on, Jay, you've got a call coming in.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes,
You take
hello?
that.
Yes, hello?
Hi, this is the budget department of CBS. How are you?
Oh, good. What do we got? Well, we got what's going on?
How much do we have in the budget for The Price is Right?
Usually about 10 million.
And how much have we given away so far?
Well, we got about we've got 2 million left, but we're
Yeah,
we've got a.
we gave away 12 million in prizes this season.
Oh, okay, so.
So we're over by 2 million. How are we gonna, what are we gonna do here?
Well, we just need to, just make the easiest pay to rent to mankind and hand over $100,000 on a silver platter.
Okay. Now, I have the video here. I have the clip, and it is a clip courtesy of CBS and Fremantle Media.
Start with the mailbox. What do you want to put in the mailbox? We got the candy, pretzel sauce, corn. Go ahead and have a look. Corn. All right. Good choice. Let's put the corn in the mailbox. There you go. Now, on the first floor, we got to put two items. What do you want to pick? We got candy, cocktail sauce, nasal strips, toothpaste. He's gonna go take a good look. Yeah, whipped cream is one, and get one other one you have to pick. Whipped cream and the candy. On the second floor there, has to make sure that that's more expensive than the whipped cream and candy put together. And then whatever's left over is going to go in the attic. The TV in the tub. Okay, you're going to get a cocktail sauce and toothpaste. And then the nasal strips are going to go up in the attic. Good luck, Kevin. Hope it works out for you. Let's start out with the can of corn. How much is it for a can of corn? $1.99. $1,000. By the way, you can stop anytime you want on this game and keep your money, because if you make a mistake on the way, you lose everything. So you keep the $1,000 to sit down, but I think the whipped cream and the candy together is worth more than $1.99. You get $5,000.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, let's keep going.
Keep going, yeah. Whipped cream is $4.09 right away. You got $5,000. Candy, how much is it for the candy? $2.19. $6.28. You have $5,000. Congratulations. It's a lot of money, right? I'll give you $10,000 if the cocktail sauce and the toothpaste is more than $6.28.
Oh, definitely. That's definitely more.
Definitely more. You're going to go for it?
Let's go for it.
He's going to go for it. He thinks definitely it's more than $6.28. Let's see the cocktail sauce. He's risking his $5,000. $3.69. Oh, man. How much is it for the toothpaste? $4.99. You got $10,000. $8.68. Well, now here's a big question for you. Is $10,000 enough? Because
I am positive those have got to be more.
If it's more than $8.68, you get an extra $90,000.
I don't need to go. What do you think? I think I need to go.
All right, congratulations. Good luck. He's risking $10,000 on the price of the nasal strips. But if it's more than $8.68, he gets $100,000. Come on, nasal strips. How much are they? $14.99. You just won $100,000. You just won $100,000. Yeah, you did. You just won $100,000. $100,000. Nice job. We'll be right back to spin the wheel right after this, folks. Don't go away.
Okay, so now. Here's the thing. I've got the items and the prices, okay?
All right.
You've got Twizzlers cherry candy at $2.19.
Okay.
Heinz cocktail sauce at $3.69.
All right.
Green Giant Southwestern Corn at $1.99.
All right.
Breathe Right strips at $14.99.
Correct.
Arm & Hammer toothpaste at $4.99, and the Ready
Whip. That
is the
truth fact.
Well, you must use it. And Ready Whip and Ready Whip whipped cream at $4.09, overpriced.
Bingo.
Okay.
He didn't say that.
Yeah. No. Let's talk about that next. Let's move on. Okay. Let's get
okay.
C out of the way. If you
freeze dried strips, put it in the attic.
Yeah, that's it. So, in other words, that's it. And you can put pretty much every other item in some form of a combination on the bottom, believe it or not.
Yeah, usually on pay the rent boards, there's one or two ways to win. On this one, I believe there's at least eight.
No, actually, our friend Mike Klaus did this, okay?
Okay, he did the spreadsheet on it. How many are on the spreadsheet?
14.
14?
Yes. And
14 is at least eight.
Okay, here's the thing. You could put any item on the bottom. There is a mathematical way to win which item, except for the fact that if you are stupid enough to put the Breathe Right nasal strips, which, by the way, I buy, thank you very much, okay.
They're very expensive. You do not want them anywhere except the attic. And if you put them anywhere except the attic, you, sir, are a moron.
Yes, exactly. The phrase is, shut up and take my money. They seriously wanted a win here, okay?
They did.
You know, I mean, like I said, there were 14 combinations in this, and it was insanely easy. I'm just wondering, just as a thing for me on a personal level, Because usually the thing is either way too hard or way too easy, because the wins that they've had like incredibly amounts of combinations, correct? It's been won, what, twice now?
It's been won, counting this time, it's been won twice.
Okay.
And on both times, you had something you could put in the attic, and the rest of them you could jumble up in any way, shape, or form almost, and you'd get a win. Now, given the five that you have remaining, 5 × 4 × 3 × 2, 5 factorial,
is 120. But the thing is, but out of a possible 30 combination, there's 14 wins.
Right.
It's almost a 50% chance. Come on!
So, if you know how to do this right, this is a gimme. You know, you usually want to pair a low price with a high price. Put it in the middle somewhere. But because of the way this works, you can pair low, low, and high, high as long as the toothpaste isn't at the bottom, because if I'm not mistaken, the toothpaste is the highest of the rest of the board here.
Right, but the thing is, you can put the toothpaste on the bottom. You can. We said this to you.
Yes, you did. You can put it, and there is a way that you can get around it and win it. Put toothpaste on the bottom, that's $4.99. You put cocktail sauce and...
Hold on, let's look at the cocktail sauce and
candy.
Cocktail sauce on candy, which is $5.68. The Ready Whip and the whipped cream, which is $6.28. Breathe Right strips at $14.99. Boom, there's your 100,000. Okay.
Yeah, you can do this at however many times, but if you put the toothpaste on the bottom, that really cuts down on all of your options.
Right, exactly. But I think you have something for our Marine, don't you?
I do. I have not only for the Marine, but for everyone. Man, woman, who played on the games, who played on The Price is Right, and who served our country ably doing so. Here's an MVP for all of you. We love America. We love our troops. God bless you.
Right. Okay. But for specifically him. However, let's go back to the win here. Okay. You had money game for a cheap comp of sport.
One. And a moment. Can we have a moment of silence for the 42 Easter egg?
What was the 42 Easter egg?
The Rosemary spot on the money game board.
Okay.
It's number two. There's always the season number.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, wow. Well, can we have a moment of silence for the 42 Easter egg? Okay, that's long enough. Moving on.
Okay. Bargain game for an ATV and HTTV.
One.
Pay the rent. We just talked about it. One. Secret extra trip to New York City.
One.
Dice game for a Ford Mustang.
One.
And pick a number for a Sea-Doo. There's your perfecto. There's your perfecto, and with the showcases, $227,502.
Nice haul, nice show, A+ work out of 33.
Mm-hmm. And we got one more show before season 43, which I believe starts taping or has started taping.
Yes.
Has season 43 started yet?
I will get back to you, but we do have one show left. And that is our back to school special on August 28th.
No, I thought it was August 15th.
Oh, August 15th. Yes. I don't know where it's
going. And by the way, season 43 will begin taping this coming Monday as we record this, the 21st.
Okay, there you go.
Now, I don't know if we have talked about this on the podcast forum, but TPIR had an amazing year. You know, we started with the Emmy, we ended with this. We had the Audi R8 win. I think we talked about this, but you know, this is the best season in the Drew Carey era.
I'd have to say so.
Ratings are up. People like the show, and we're going to see more of. I can't wait to see what they do next. Oh boy. But you know, Oh, boy, but you know who we also have to cover?
Yeah, we do. It's time for...
Morons in the house!
So we have two weeks in, and two morons gone.
In week one, Joey, who was part of Team America, got zapped 13-0, okay? In week two, the cutest, dumbest player to ever play Big Brother, Pow Pow, a.k.a. Paola, was voted out, I believe it was 10-2.
Yeah, Pow Pow went bye-bye, 10-2.
Oh, by the way, what was her mistake?
The moment she went to the house.
Yeah, that was pretty much it, yeah.
she was really just boobs and a pretty face.
And a very healthy posterior.
Very healthy posterior.
Yeah.
Her posterior went pow pow.
Yeah,
anyway.
It did. And by the way, here's the problem. Joey was just doing it way too hard.
Yeah.
You know, not good. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, you know, the first month in the Big Brother house, you're feeling everybody out, seeing where everyone was going, seeing how everybody, you know, played their own game. You're not really in it to play until at least you're guaranteed a spot in the jury.
Right.
Then you start thinking end game. Well, you don't start thinking end game. You just start thinking, what do I have to do to get to the rest of the house?
So then we had Devin, who basically alienated everybody as HOH. So then we had a competition where underwater polo, where Nicole and Derek won, were the new HOHs, because they got a perfect score of 29 and 28, respectively. Okay.
Nicole nominated Amber and Danny for eviction. Derek nominated Caleb and Jocasta. Both pairs would face each other in the Battle of the Block competition. Abracababra, one house guest, would run across the yard to a bin containing puzzle pieces. When someone ran across the yard, their partner was raised up into the air next to their puzzle board. The first duo to complete their puzzle and hit the button would win the Battle of the Block. Not only that, they'd be immune from the eviction.
Right.
And their corresponding HOH would be the true HOH. And the loser, and this is the important bit because this is Big Brother, the loser wears a frog costume.
So here's what happened. Caleb decided to pretty much throw the HOH as part of a very big plan, you see. What happened also was Jocasta has been very, very ill. And if you saw her on tonight's episode, I've been...
It's almost like, yeah, I don't think you're kind of torn between... You want to get her out of the house and get her to a clinic, or you want to keep her in bed just so she can, you know, try and tough it out here.
So what happened was that Caleb throws the competition.
Amber and Donnie won the competition. They saved themselves.
And Nicole gets to wear a frog suit for the week.
Yeah.
And then Derek is the suit. Then in the veto competition... which was called Tumbling Dice. The players were Devin, who really needed this because he knew what was coming.
He knew what was coming if he lost this.
Donnie, Christine, Caleb,
Jocasta.
Look, these are the people who got picked.
Okay.
It was Caleb, Derek, Christine, Devin, and Donnie. Okay.
All right.
Jocasta couldn't get.
She was on the DL.
Right. She was on the DL. The winner of the veto competition was Donnie.
We gotta watch out for Donnie. He's gonna coast to the half mil.
He could, as if they don't vote, they should be voting his behind out as quickly as possible. Seriously, I mean, he's good. He's really good.
He's really playing this well. He's flying under the radar.
No, he's not flying under the radar.
Oh, he's not flying under the radar?
Are you kidding?
I thought he was.
No.
You know, nobody's suspecting him of anything.
No,
except for, you know.
But I will say this. The Team America competition, they did get their first $5,000.
There you go.
Okay. And the next Team America vote is either vote out someone who they think is a floater or vote out someone who they think is a strong competition. Stronger competition. So Donnie, in a speech that was very edited for TV, takes out Jocasta, saves Jocasta in the power of veto, and guess who gets on the block?
Hi, Devin.
Welcome to you. So it's Caleb and Devin in the live vote tomorrow night. Seriously, does Caleb...
Devin have a chance at winning this vote?
No.
Is that what you were trying to ask?
No. He's going to go on the loser's couch with remote control free.
He is going to go on the loser's couch with comfortable seating, remote control freedom, fine Corinthian leather cushions, and a copy of Jason Block's new book, You Ever Get a Headache Riding the Hydra? I have.
And don't you dare hog the Krispy Kremes in a Zay soda.
Can't do it. That's the number one rule of the loser's lounge couch. You can't hog the Krispy Kremes and Izzy soda.
Yes, but you know what? We talked about Price is Right. Let's talk about Let's Make a Deal.
They just wrapped up their season, and right now, as season five. Right now, as we're doing this, they're taping season six.
Yep. Because it was a very good year for them. Okay, the season ended with another family edition, I'll give you some stats because I am the recapper of the show. $6.8 million dollars earned by contestants, 45 big deals won. Another appearance by Monty Hall after the last Emmy fiasco.
Let's not talk about that. That was a bad time.
No, excuse me. In the 2013 Emmys, the Lifetime Achievement Award that Monty Hall got, the Emmy package that they never showed on TV, was shown on Let's Make a Deal. We have to talk about that.
Okay. We got to talk about that. But I think it was a giant faux pas on the part of the Academy. Until the next faux pas that was on the part of the Academy.
Yes, exactly. We had, of course, a baby. Hi, Mommy Tiffany. We had a little bit of an appearance by Danielle Dembski. We had an Emmy win.
Yep.
Okay.
First game show to win an Emmy for original song. Again, the title,
30,000 Ways to Love Me. And I've seen it. It was great. Okay. And, of course, we had the debut of the Let's Make a Deal slot machine in casinos all around the country. We saw them in Nevada. However, Gordon has a question, and I think this is interesting. We all love the show. However, what is their one thing to make it better? What would you like to see done?
Well, I personally wanted to see, and I have wanted to see it ever since it premiered back in 2009, the money. They have the money, they have the reputation for a two-man big deal. That's a minor gripe, though.
Well, I mean, so in other words, let's say for argument's sake, okay, they would do that. How much do you think that would add on to the budget?
On average, another $5,000 to $7,500 a show.
All right, let's mark it to $5,000, okay?
All right, $5,000.
Okay, and they do about 175 shows, right?
Right.
That would be about $875,000 by my mark?
Let's round it up to $900,000.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, possibly.
Okay. I know they have the ratings for it. I know they have the ratings to get the money. I just don't know if they have the money yet.
No. I mean, Gordon had an interesting thing. He said he'd like to see something they did on Trato Echo, which is have a person in a curtain get their services, like recording studio or vocal lessons. okay? I mean, personally, I would like to see more variety in the cars. I think the cars are honestly a bit too small. You know, I mean, how many times do we need to see a little smart car or a...
Well, smart car is the only one that'll fit inside the box.
Yes, or a Chevy Spark or things like that. You know what I mean?
They have to have, like, a little car, like a little family car for the little deals. You know, you have to keep it under 20,000. You save that one for the big one.
Well, yeah, but even with the big deals, I mean, look, in the bigger deals, we've seen Scions, we've seen Mustangs, we've seen BMW. They've gone as high as a BMW or a Mercedes, okay? You know, put a Camaro in there occasionally, right?
I'd love to see a Camaro. I'd love to see a souped-up Charger, too.
You know, or a Challenger, you know. You know.
Listen to Jason, guys. He's a guy who knows his cars.
I mean, a Dodge Challenger would be, they've had a Dodge Challenger occasionally. But again, let's just see a little bit more variety from a little bit more, you know, different manufacturers, and then we'll see where we go from there. But again, it was a good year all around.
Yep, and year 6 is underway, and as we record this, I just want to send a quick shout-out to my friend Jennifer the Pig.
Ah, yes. She did well, didn't she?
She did very well. In fact, I don't want to say I helped with her, because I didn't know she was going to be on the show.
Yes, but guess who's back?
Back again.
Beastie's
back. Tell a friend.
Ah, yes. And by the way, did you notice that ratings went up from week 1 to week 2?
Yes, they did. They went up from 490-something to 530-something. And remember, this was against the All-Star Game.
Well, you know, that's what we call counter-programming.
Salute to the captain, by the way. Anyway.
All right. Well, let me ask you something. The Beast is 2-0, isn't he? If I'm not
the Beast is 2-0. Last night we were doing the Chase Cast. Got him with 33 seconds to spare. He could have moonwalked the final chase. Oh, it was just.
It was.
They had no chance of pushing the Beast back.
Right.
Yesterday.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's go back to week 1. What did they do wrong?
Okay. This is why we call it 2 minutes to eternity. Arguably the two most thrilling, fast-paced minutes in all of game shows today. 2 minutes is a long time to get to 17 steps, and a lot of mistakes can happen. Taking too long to answer a question, for one. Not coming up with a specific enough answer to satisfy a question. Forgetting to pass. You know, you buzz in, you don't know it, you gotta pass it.
And of course, from Mr. Labette himself, pushbacks
to the game. Yeah.
Pushbacks. Mm-hmm.
They could have gotten at least another step or two, and that would have made the difference in this particular case. Came down to the final 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and here are some of the questions, like, architect Frank Gehry designed what museum in Bilbao, Spain? And of
the
course,
Guggenheim.
Right, and of course, the death of what king marked the beginning of the Hellenistic Age?
Alexander the Great.
Which was a successful pushback. In the Chinese Zodiac, 2014 is the year of what animal?
Horse.
Right. What in French cooking, mirepoix is a mixture of carrots, onions, and what vegetable?
Celery.
Yep. And one carrier of cholesterol in the body's HDL, which stands for high density what? And I said
lipoproteins.
But of course, you know that being a medical tech.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So, all right. So here we go. But you know what? The Chase is back. Chase is doing well. Ratings are still good. I see a season 4, don't you?
I hope so. I know a few people, Mike, that are in the pool for season 4, should GSN decide to go forward with that.
And no matter how many, I will audition again. I will get there.
You want to face the Beast.
I want to face the Beast pretty badly. I also want to go on another show I can't talk about right now, but we'll talk about that later. But you want to?
We all want to go on shows we can't talk about right now, Jason.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I might crackle up. Anyway, but I do have. You know what I have for you?
What do you have for me?
I have nominees. Okay. The Primetime Emmy Award nominees were announced this week, but we don't want to talk about Game of Thrones or, you know, Orange is the New Black. We only have really two categories that really count for us, okay?
All right.
For reality competition program, the nominees are, and I think you can give the companies, The Amazing Race.
World Race Productions for...
CBS. Yeah. So You Think You Can Dance.
19 and Dick Clark for Fox.
Dancing with the Stars.
BBC Worldwide for ABC.
Top Chef.
Magical Elves for Bravo.
Very good. Project Runway.
The Weinstein Company for...
Lifetime. And The Voice.
Talpa Media and Warner Horizon Television for NBC.
And that would also mean Mark Burnett Productions as well, so...
Indeed.
So, let's...
Now, if I were an Emmy voter, which I'm not, but if I was, I'd put my vote for The Voice. I'm sorry.
For me, I would vote for The Voice, because most of the shows that were nominated had an off year. However, what do you see missing from there?
I do not see a Probst.
No, you don't see a Survivor.
I don't see a Probst or a Seacrest.
We're going to get to Probst in a minute.
I was making references to Idol and Survivor. They're not there. They've been snubbed. American Idol, you know, it is snub-worthy now that you think about it, because it's no longer the show it once was. Survivor, on the other hand, has had two back-to-back seasons of great import and interest. And no love for them?
Wow.
What?
Exactly. And the ratings were good. They were consistently beating Idol. I'm shocked at this. I'm really legitimately shocked that Survivor isn't...
You're
there.
Shocked. I'm a bit angry. I would be angry, man.
Well, Probst never gets angry at anything. Seriously.
He just takes it all in stride, doesn't he? Well,
Gordon said that not to be surprised if Top Chef sneaks out a win here. I mean, he says it's the only show out of six that upped the game with The Last Chance Kitchen and with a very surprising winner.
Yeah. Now, me, I think The Race is The Race. It goes in the favorite because of that. But as Top Chef proved, the champ is beatable.
But
it would not surprise me if Top Chef won. It wouldn't surprise me if The Voice won.
Well, The Voice won last year. The Voice won last year. Don't be surprised if it goes again.
That's right.
Okay, but we have the list, okay, of reality competition hosts, okay? As you talked about earlier, Jeff Probst, not there. Dumb. Absolutely dumb. Had one of his best seasons in a long time.
Exactly, and, you know, again, he serves as the benchmark to which all reality show conduits should aspire to.
Exactly.
And he's not in the running? What's going on here, dude?
I don't know, but we do have the nominees, and they are, I think, one of the oldest nominees in history, Betty White for Off Their Rockers. Okay? Do you know what production company that is?
No, I don't.
Okay. Tom Bergeron, Dancing with the Stars, which is BBC Worldwide for ABC. Jane Lynch for Hollywood Game Night. Okay? First-time nominee in this category.
Yep.
Heidi
Klum and Tim Gunn for Project Runway.
Yes, turned down for what? God help me, that is a terrible commercial.
That's scary.
Yes, Kat Dealy, meow, for So You Think You Can Dance. And Anthony Bourdain for The Taste. Holy cow.
Okay, surprisingly and almost shockingly absent, Padma Lakshmi and Tom Colicchio
for Top Chef.
And Phil Keegan for The Amazing Race.
Yeah, and of course Jeff Probst and all the people, Nigella Lawson, Ludo Lefebvre, I believe his name is.
Ludo Lefebvre and Marcus Samuelson.
Yes.
If we're talking about season two, because if you remember, he replaced Brian Mullarkey for Judge.
Right. And, let me ask you this. What do you got?
What do I got? First of all, I just want to say something here. I love Jane Lynch. I think the world of Jane Lynch. I think she's got a bright future in this business. I think she's a great host, a great conduit, great conversationalist, and a very attractive human being. But in a reality competition category, I don't know. Especially when there's a perfectly good game show host category.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, all right.
It's Howie for Deal or No Deal all over again.
And while I love Betty White, but really? Okay, I mean, look. Gordon says this, and he's right, I think. Jane Lynch is a huge force in the entertainment community, with Glee and otherwise, and the fact that she came out recently makes her the favorite. She also thinks that Heidi Klum might get it for her all the years of service. I mean,
well, I think so, too. I mean, with no Jeff Probst and no Phil Keegan in the race, the race is blown wide open, basically.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know you think she should be with Steve Harvey and all those other people on the Daytime Emmys. This was a primetime show. I think she belongs here, and I think she's going to win this. I really do, okay?
Okay.
But there was a legit snub here. There was an absolutely legit snub, okay?
Yeah.
All right, though, but we got to bring this down a little bit, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Chad Brown.
Okay, so how does a gladiator become a poker expert?
Well, through the fact that, as you said, he had acting gigs, and he was host of the Ultimate Poker Challenge.
Yes, he did. He hosted that alongside a guest poker pro. Both of his seasons are on DVD now. If you go to Amazon.com, I'm sure you can find him there. Or wherever fine DVDs are sold. There are a couple of shows where he did not host because, you know what was happening? He was on the felt. He was playing the game. And hence, we have the birth and the genesis of a fresh poker face.
I mean, he had 100 cashes, 40 in the World Series of Poker, second three times, third twice in the World Series of Poker, fourth once, fifth once, eighth once, and the runner-up in the 2007 National Heads-Up Championship for NBC when poker was a thang.
On TV. This was back before the government cracked down on, offshore sites like Full Tilt and Party Poker and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, we have the November 9, by the way. Oh, boy, that's going to be fun, but If I may get a little blue here, cancer sucks balls, because he had a 10-pound tumor removed and succumbed to a rare form of the cancer called liposarcoma.
Yeah, if I may be positive for a moment, he never once won a World Series of Poker bracelet, but he did get one from one of his cohorts. He was able to get his hands on a World Series of Poker bracelet right before he passed, and that just speaks volumes to not just the type of player he was, but also to the type of person he was.
You know what? Why don't we just have a moment of silence, and we'll have it here and then go into Brain Vision, all right?
All right.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
Live, local, late breaking. From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you, Doug Morris, as always. If you want to, if you're in the southern Mississippi area, you want to listen to Doug Morris Sunday afternoons on Rock Tracks with Doug Morris, you can do so. WXRR 104.5 on your FM dial.
Yes, but it's time to start with the business, Ed. What do we need?
I need a German Stein.
Yes, jawohl, Germany beats... Jawohl, Germany beats Argentina 1-0 and goes into the World Cup and crashes everybody. But you know what? We have seen...
In extra time, I may add.
Mario Götze, who is now more famous for his naked...
He wasn't naked, but he might as well have been.
Yeah, yes, because there are pictures out there, just saying, okay?
Just saying. But I believe there are a couple of pictures on at midnight earlier this week.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, so with his own little flagpole, if you know what I mean, right?
You're right. Speaking of plumbing, VH1 is getting ready to debut Dating Naked.
Wait. What?
That's the name of the show.
Dating
Naked.
It debuts tomorrow night, July 16th, as we record this. July 17th.
It is literally The Bachelor with less clothes.
I'm going to steal a line from Gordon, if I may.
Go ahead.
They're naked, and I'm afraid. Okay? Have you seen the preview for this, Drek?
I've seen the preview, and I've seen the future of the reality show. And it is very naked.
Naked people and pixelated body parts. Okay.
Fox, on the flip, Fox has decided to forego its own naked people dating series.
You know what?
Greenlit by Kevin Reilly, who is no longer with us.
By that, I mean
he's been sacked.
Okay, a Fox reality show that has standards. I'm shocked. No, but seriously, why do we...
You want to know why? Because naked. That's why.
Yeah. Let's ask Mary Harry how this goes.
Oh, my God.
Or at least the Harry Mary. Yes, exactly.
A Harry Mary. I want a Mary Harry. I want a Harry Mary.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes, but we have only one outside of that dating mess. I have Gordon's datebook in front of me.
All right.
And we have Buscanse mi ritmo coming up on July 19th on
Telemundo,
which is another one of the Spanish talent shows, which, you know what, they are actually sometimes a lot better than the American counterparts.
Yes, they are. And I actually have a list of all the people who are going to be buscandoing a mi ritmo.
Oh, is this sort of like Dancing with the Stars, kind of, or?
Sort of, yeah. We have New York-based singer Eli Yas, Venezuelan actor-singer Lino Martone, Dominican actor and singer Jose Guillermo Cortines, and Mexican actress Telly Duclos, as the four celebrity contestants who will partner with up-and-coming musical bands that are looking to establish themselves in the music industry. Singer-songwriter Erica Ender and radio personality Humberto El Gato Rodriguez were also announced as judges, who together with four members from different music genres, pop, Mexican, rock, and tropical, will judge the performances through the six episodes, and hosting is international television star Gabby Espino.
You know what? It'll get an audience. Trust me.
It will definitely get an audience. It premieres Saturday, July 19th, 6 p.m. and 10 p.m.
Telemundo, so that's going to be not in competition with Sabago Gigante, right? Or will be?
Actually, no. 6 p.m. Eastern and 10 p.m. Pacific. So it's going to be out of the way of Sabago Gigante.
Smart move.
The networks of NBC Universal are playing this very smartly.
Yes, but you know what? I need to go somewhere. Are we doing something Spanish?
We are doing something Spanish. We're going to start with Latin America. Estrella TV has greenlit Reto Famosos, with host Felipe Viel to run starting this week.
What is that one?
It's kind of a playoff of Hollywood Game Night, in which you have two teams playing various games, and the winner gets a big cash prize.
Oh, that is cool. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It's cool. Let's hop the ponds for a moment, where we have three hosts and two shows. Eamon Holmes and Ruth Langsford are going to be hosting Gift List for ITV, which is basically the newlywed game with engaged couples.
Uh-huh.
And the winner not only gets a large cash prize, also items on their gift registries.
Probably associated with a store and sponsors, etc.
Yeah, so this is an easy cash grab, if you ask me.
Well, you know what?
What?
No, I'm just saying, you know what? There you go. It is a cash grab.
There you go.
But now, the other one, what is Vernon Kay doing?
Vernon Kay has a new show called 1,000 Heartbeats. You will have as much time as it takes you to beat off 1,000 heartbeats to answer questions, win money. If you remember the chair, it's kind of like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, we'll see. I mean,
That ticked off in your head. Here's what's ticking off in Gordon's head. He gave me charge of the whiteboard. Isn't he nice?
Yes, but you know what? You go first. Oh,
I will. Are you smarter than ABC? They're giving game show fangirl Rosie O'Donnell another shot at The View, which of course leads to, as all things do, beef on social media.
Oh boy, with Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Yeah.
Okay. If I may get on my soapbox for a moment.
I'll just say, what did Randolph Hearst say about publicity?
All publicity is good publicity, except when it's not. And here's what I was getting at. They teach you how to talk when you get a job at Fox News. They teach you how to talk. In my observation, the one thing they don't teach you how to do is shut up.
Yeah, well, but here's the deal. Let me. Gordon said this. When you defend ABC, I'm going to defend them a little bit too. They got their best ratings when Rosie and Elizabeth Hasselbeck were at each other's throats. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know,
people like train wreck television.
Yeah, they do. I mean, look, when you have a liberal gay person versus a blonde conservative, you're going to get ratings gold. Okay?
Beef is beef, man.
Beef is beef. But, of course, hey, Augustus!
Brains!
We have a couple of zombies for
Brains!
You. Yes. Why don't you go over to the catering table of Last Call Food Brawl, and Tabitha takes over.
Brains!
Yes. Oh, and by the way, we do have who the Hairy Mary is. Her name is Kimberly Birch.
Oh, she's the Hairy Mary?
She's the one who's going to marry Harry, supposedly.
Supposedly.
Yeah, no. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, the hairier the merrier, I always say. Mm-hmm. More power to you guys.
Yes, but let's go to the pub and get fully loaded, okay?
Okay. Twitter gives us two this week. First up, while we're talking about the Emmys, At Midnight is up for Emmy for Outstanding Interactive Program.
And you know what we say to that?
Points!
You know what? They're going to win. I really think they're going to win.
I think so. It's new. It's fresh. And people genuinely love it. It has a great following.
Yes, it does.
Midnight.
And, of course, I say hashtag well done. Seriously.
Indeed. Second, you know, Jason and I frequent the quiz circuit, and we know a guy by the name of Tom Scott. Very intelligent British quizzer. He is now with an interactive quiz called First Person, which is played over Twitter and YouTube. You play it over Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, 4 p.m., in the UK, but get it while it's hot, because from what I understand from my sources,
Yeah, I believe this is the end of
this
the run.
This Friday is the last one.
Right, which would be this week. And if you follow it on at First Person Quiz and youtube.com/ENYAY. N-Y-A-Y. Okay? And it's, you know, it's okay. It's okay.
It's nice. It's cute. And it's really challenging because I tried to play it when I was actually on the train going up to New Jersey, which is why we were absent last week, because we were all in New Jersey at the time. You basically have 10 items and a topic, and you have to come up with them before the player in the chair does.
I mean, it's cute.
It needs a little polish, but it's not terrible.
Okay. But you know what? Hey, Chico, do you see that paper over there?
Yes, I do.
That's the Media Ho report.
Okay, I've got the Media Ho report.
Okay.
I got the Media Ho report, and all of these need polish if you ask me. Mm-hmm. In this week's Media Ho report, Paul Cena does comedy, Drew Carey gets a new girlfriend, porn, the Skin Wars artists are revealed, Stevie Nicks joins Team Adam on The Voice, Jane Lynch wants in on The View.
You know what? That wouldn't be too bad.
That wouldn't be too bad. I mean, she's a great human being.
Mm-hmm.
Khloe Kardashian tells everyone who's pregnant to stay home because she wants a baby.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
John Mayer wants his show to be hosted by Anthony Bourdain. Why? Adam Levine is planning on marrying Bahati Prinsloo.
I believe they've been engaged for a while. So, I mean, they're actually going to do it?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make an honest man out of him for a change. Anyway, and Marcus Grodd is still not over being rejected by Andy Dorfman.
Do you have the remedy for that, Chico?
It's called Night Hall.
No, it's called two pints at quiz night. Get it right. Good stuff.
She's boring. Anyway.
You worse. Oh, by the way, did you hear? Juan Pablo. He supposedly the relationship is over. Shocking.
Wow. I am shocked. My shocked voice.
By the way, you did hear about that, right?
I did hear about that, and frankly, it could have happened to a better bastard. Anyway.
Yes, and by the way, and you know who the media hoes, according to Gordon, are this week? We talked about them earlier.
Yes, we did. Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn, who create, well,
yes.
You know what? I'm just gonna put up the video, courtesy of Lifetime, and let you judge for yourself.
Oh, boy.
Ask me. It's creepy.
Yes. Turn down for what? Here it is. Right there. Turn down for what?
Turn down for what? Turn down for what?
Make it work. Work.
You better work. You better work.
Turn down for what?
Auf Wiedersehen.
Okay, we got that from Gawker. They posted it, and their headline is this Project Runway ad the wackest thing ever?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Next question, please.
Yeah, next question. You know what the next question is? What are we going to do after this news segment? Because I'm about to shut down the Choppler.
Okay, shut it down.
Okay.
And you better work.
Oh, God, no! Okay, I'm going to shut it down. But you want to know something? There have been a lot of shows that have debuted since the last podcast. So you know what we've got to do?
Do you want reviews?
Yes.
Then you get reviews!
Yep.
With Jason Block and the specter of Gordon Pepper hanging ever so slightly above us. This is Chico Alexander. You're listening to WLTI Live on CLW83.com. You give us 22 minutes, and we'll give you 22 shows We watch and review so you don't have to.
A few of those may be coming up in our next segment. Brain Vision has been brought to you by Wipe Opt Out. People who want out of their careers have to travail a series of obstacles in the big balls before going through the most harrowing event ever, spending the next 5 years of your life in Cleveland, Ohio. LeBron James hosts. Okay, but you know what, Chico? Before we go into reviews, that's my Vuvuzela impersonation.
It sounded like Bigfoot.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm sorry, that's Chewbacca. But we have our Game Show World, WLTI and Game Show News Net World Cup update. Chico, take it away.
Yes, I do. I've got it right here. We have our round of eight matchups. Jeopardy takes down Countdown. They'll take on The Price is Right, who handily hammered Big Brother. That's match number one. Match number two, Best of British. Millionaire over Britain's Got Talent versus The Chase over Sabado Gigante. Match three is the Best of Japan. Sasuke over Only Connect. What a shocker there, folks. And Iron Chef takes it over Million Dollar Mind Game. Wow. So
that was a bit of a shocker there. We're in the process of voting now, and by the time you hear this, we might have a winner by that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And match number four, I want to call it the marquee matchup because A, it's the best of what's left, and B, it's a shiny floor show versus a reality show. This is where you're going to split the fandom, so to speak. We have Family Feud, who won over Rock Quiz, and Survivor, who upset Let's Make a Deal, taking on each other.
Should be very interesting, but it's time.
Should be very interesting.
Yes, we will let you know what the results are. But it's time to open up the tablets and the capsules because we have reviews. I believe we have 9 of them.
No, we have 8, actually.
We have 8 of them. Now, this is the WLTI Maximum Strength Capsule Reviews. Okay?
All right.
Let's go down to Texas first.
Right. First up is Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge on CMT. You see the Color Run, the Tough Mudder, the Spartan Race. This is similar.
Now, when
it
I
is not the same race, but it is similar.
Yeah, and I watched this, and I just needed an ice pack watching the show. It was really good, but really tough. I mean, this—you had enough testosterone on that show, right?
Like, imagine the Wipeout course without the safety padding.
Right, exactly. So here's the deal. 8 people come to Steve Austin's ranch to compete for $10,000. If they complete the Skullbuster obstacle course, which is insane. Let's see. You have to run a half mile while carrying a 6-pound log, right? Then crawl under barbed wire. Swing across a rope climb. Do a military rappel, climb 3 walls, you know, a spider web, and then run up a hill, back down a hill with a log, if I'm not mistaken, I think.
Yeah.
And then you have to end with a straight up rope climb at the end. And if you ring the bell, you get $10,000. And if they're the leader, they get $10,000 per week if they're the time leader for a maximum of $100,000 through the 10 episode cycle. I do not know if the second episode, the women won because they're splitting it, men, women, 5 and 5.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, before we get into this, props to our first woman to complete the Ninja Warrior course, by the way.
Kitty Catanzaro.
Yeah, she was insane.
Showing all the guys how it's done.
Right. Okay. And put it to you this way, the course is badass. I mean, Austin is good at this. You know,
Of course Austin's good at it. He's had the experience
with Redneck Island.
He's used to dealing with this demographic. He knows how to cater to it.
Exactly. And what happens is that for me, this was a pleasant surprise. He's perfect. Okay. And, you know, as I said, five men, five women. I like this a lot. This was a pleasant surprise. B plus.
I thought it was a pleasant surprise, too. I liked it. It looks like a lot of fun. It looks badass. I may have to see my doctor after watching it. I'm going to give it a B plus, too. And Gordon, he gives it a B plus for badass. The plus stands for extra badass.
He also thinks, though, the editing needs to be a little bit more cleaner, but it's fun. And he said it's fun and original. And I agree with him. It is.
Yep. And another fun another fun show premiered last week with History Channel's Podography, featuring Christopher Titus hosting and the Pawn Stars playing two contestants in a battle of trivial wits for cash and things from the world-famous gold and silver pawn.
You know, I mean, look, for me, if you know the format of Win Ben Stein's Money, you work here. I don't mind the fact that this is not original. In this,
I don't mind it either because the way it works is it just fits in it perfectly.
Well, so,
you have
okay. So tell us how this game works.
All right, follow me here. We start out with two contestants. They answer trivia questions against Rick and Chumley. No, Corey and Chumley.
Okay.
Okay. Rick steps in for the second round against the same two contestants. Player with the most cash moves on to the final round, which is very much best of 10 test of knowledge-ish, where he or she will face off against the Pawn Stars, answering the same 10 questions. This is where it gets a little bit fun for me.
Because you like the fact that Rick Harrison was going to offer you basically says, how do you think you did?
Like, how do you think you did? How do you think I did? I will give you so much money in order to back out. And then the contestant and Rick haggle back and forth to see how much he will ultimately offer you to walk away. Make the right deal, you can walk away with thousands. Make the wrong deal, you could lose everything.
Again, if you like the Pawn Stars in the format, you like this. I give it a B.
I gave it a B+. It's a good show. It's not a great show, but it's a good effort. So not a bad premise, only because we've seen it before, so I give it a B+. Gordon likes the premise. He has the same problem as with Broken Skull Ranch. It's not paced well enough. But overall, it's a good first effort for all involved. So he gave it a B.
All right, hey, you know, it's great. Two shows we liked.
Wait for it.
Uh-oh.
How do you feel about Snack Off?
Oh, the happy feeling's gone. Sorry. Whoops.
Yep. Can I bring out the Chuck Bucket now?
Okay.
Remember, I in the text I mentioned that there is actually a spiritual successor to Last Call Food Brawl.
Yeah.
This would be it.
Well, try this. You know what I call this one? Chopped
what?
For stoners. Okay. Am I wrong? Chopped.
You're not incorrect.
Right, exactly. This is from the mind of Rob Dyrdek, okay? And, all right, so let me give you the concept, if that's okay.
Okay.
Okay. Three cooks compete in cook-offs using whatever left in your fridge, snack food, and a mystery munchie. The judging are Chef Jason Quinn, comic Yasir Lester, and, of course, Chrissy Teigen.
Living proof that John Legend is... Lot Legend is the luckiest SOB on the planet.
Yes, and Forever 21, morons. Anyway,
the prize is $1,000, a spot in the Snack Off recipe book, and of course, the coveted Golden Spork.
All right, here's the problem. You have a budget more for the judges than the contestant pool. $1,000?
$1,000.
Really? and probably signing of all your publication rights?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm too old for this bleep. F.
Okay. I cannot tell you what's worse here. The format, Eddie Huang's hosting, or the culinary abominations that come out of the snack-off kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
Because the host, I mean, the host is a chef and a TV personality, but he's jumping all around the place and you want to know what the heck he's doing. The judges actually have more chops than the host.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the problem here. I mean, what do you, it's not, see, the thing is, it's not about the chefs, it's about the judges, I think, here.
Yeah, I have to agree.
And Gordon said, it's like any other chopped wannabe show sans originality. Which is true! This is not original at all!
This is not, this is cut from the very cloth that Iron Chef was cut from.
Chopped, too. Chopped as well.
Chopped, Top Chef, all of that. But ultimately, this is about a stomach turning and some of the gastronomical abortions that come out of the kitchen, which, if you consider MTV's audience, is limited to a box of Cheerios, a few frozen waffles, and half a pack of ramen noodles. F.
Yeah, and Gordon has an F+, which means we have epic.
Epic fail.
Not a shock here. Okay.
Better, but not by much, is Spike TV's new short-form series, Frankenfood. So, Josh Capon is the host, and Tony Luke is your judge. I messed that one up. It's Josh Capon.
Yeah, no. Brian Duffy is host.
No, Josh Capon's host. Trust me on this.
Well, you wrote it as Brian Duffy, but okay.
That's what I was saying. That's where I messed up.
Okay, that's fine. That's cool. So
we admit our mistakes here.
Yeah, okay. So it's Josh Capon as host, and Tony Luke Jr. is the judge. Okay, so they're looking for the next food fusion, because for everything, we're looking for something like the Double Down, the Cronut. What's
the Luther?
What's a Luther?
It's a hamburger made out of Krispy Kreme donuts.
Okay, as my heart, my veins in my heart just crunched. Okay, all right.
The next fusion food craze will win $10,000 and a spot on a food eatery's menu.
Here's the problem with this, okay?
All right.
For a show this well-produced and the highly pedigree, it was boring as hell.
It took a long time to get to the actual tasting, and even then it only lasted, what, a minute, two, maybe?
Right.
All of the time was wasted on the contestants and their backgrounds and what actually goes into their food items. Oy.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a D for disappointment.
Well, it's not an outright fail because, you know, there's something there. I don't mean to, you know, make the obvious pun, but the meat is in the sandwich. This should have been a lot more better than what we actually got, and if it was paced better, it probably would be. I gave it a D+. Gordon says it's not a fail, it's technically decent, but it should be a lot better than the C- he's giving it.
Okay, the next one, and then you have a couple more that from earlier this summer. Let's talk about Restaurant Startup. Okay. Which, you know, you call it 24-hour restaurant battle.
I remember 24-hour restaurant battle, don't you?
Yes, I do, but to me, this was done a lot better. I mean, this fits CNBC's pairing of Shark Tank, okay? I mean, look, was it imbalanced? Yeah.
Okay. It was totally balanced. It was 15 minutes of game and 45 minutes of the actual follow-up. So you're wondering, You know, you're invested in it for 15 minutes, and the rest of the time it's like, why even bother?
Well, okay, but Gordon and you always want the demystification of the process. Why is this show like Face Off done so well? Because
it demystifies the process.
Right, and there is a demystification of the process. I mean, is it truly a game show per se?
Jury's still out on that one.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, it was very businesslike. It was unbalanced. Yeah, if it was more fun, I'd grade it higher. But if you want to see how the business end works, this is how you do it. I give it a B minus.
Okay. Well, I'll give it a B minus too. I just wish it moves a little faster.
Oh.
Gordon gave it a C minus. It's not a game show. We're here to judge a game show on its gameability, and while the show is really liked and it's really tailored to people like you and me, Gordon was born silly.
Okay.
So that's what we came up with.
But of course, yes, but we also have three other shows we need to talk about. Let's talk about Rising Star, shall we? This premiered.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we do. I mean, I don't remember my original grade on it, but I will say this. It is incredibly derivative, okay? Here's the thing. You have a voting app. And you have two shows, the East Coast and the West Coast. If you get enough points, it's 70%, right?
It's 70%, and that'll raise the wall. Obviously, votes from the three coaches, or the three ex, I don't even, is it coaches, experts, judges? They use the term intermingling.
And we don't know. What is it, Josh Groban?
No, Josh Groban's the host. Okay. The three experts are
Brad Paisley, Ludacris.
Brad Paisley, Ludacris.
And Kesha.
We love, by the way. And Kesha.
Right.
Their votes cost more. Their votes are worth more.
Right. And here's, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the Million Dollar Mind game. Not Million Dollar Mind, a Million Second Quiz, excuse me. Because it's
high concept, but not enough payoff.
Right, and the fact that rules are screwed. Because if you could have an epic fail on the East Coast, but the West Coast can save you, huh?
That I don't get. I mean, they were supposed to build this as the ultimate live television experiment, but there's something in that's automatically geared for failure if you try and please everybody, especially on the live coast or on the West Coast, who are so used to getting everything tape delayed in the first place. They would probably have been cool with that.
Right, exactly. It was just, yeah.
And when you couple with the fact that, you know, aside from the wall, it's pretty much The Voice with buttons instead of buzzers.
Yeah.
I can't give this higher than a D.
This was a D for me, and if I remember correctly, and again, I apologize if I'm not giving the right numbers here. But I will say this, it's really bad. Here's another one. Here's the thing. Chico, I have a Xerox mask for you. It's got the Chevrolet.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's got the Chevrolet logo on it.
Thank you very much. Motor City Masters on True TV.
Right.
It's a show about cars.
It's a show about cars, but this is incredibly disappointing because nothing about this show is original. Not a blessed thing. Okay.
Nope, it's basically Project Runway
for cars.
For gearheads.
Yes, for gearheads. And the problem is that the execution is not very good at all. The Brooke Burns, yes?
Brooke Burns.
Good, I got it right.
You got it right this time.
Yes.
Yes.
Brooke Burns is actually the best thing about the show. Actually, let me rephrase that. The host and the judges are the best things about this show. Because you have Gene Lindemood, who is an absolutely fantastic automobile journalist who gives gravitas to to the show.
Gravitas.
And the German car designer, whose name escapes me. But what happens is you have 10 contestants who are various, who are car designers, car restorers, painters, etc., having to compete in challenges to win, I believe it is $100,000, a contract to be the design master for Chevrolet, and a 2015 Camaro Z28 worth about $75,000. Here's the problem with this.
By the way, Jason, I'm going to stop you right here. Harold Belker.
Yes, Harold Belker, who designed the Batmobile for the most recent Batman films. But here's the problem with this. The problem is that there is nothing brought to the table at all that is anything's new. Zero, nothing different. And that disappoints me. And it also feels like even though, like, say, for example, Project Runway feels like a product placement show, yes, it's obvious, but it's not, I mean, it's not as...
It doesn't hit you upside the face with it like this show does.
No, exactly. And I have no issue with that. It's just I just wish there was anything new. I gave it a C.
I have no issue with it, but the fact of the matter remains that it does not... It takes liberally from the standard reality tropes and doesn't contribute to the zeitgeist.
It's like, what is it? It's individual challenge, team challenge.
Elimination.
It's
verse, chorus, verse.
Yes, it's verse, chorus, verse with nothing new in between. Sorry.
Right.
And what do you give it?
Gotta give it a C minus.
Yeah.
And finally, if you okay, time for a little bit of backstory. If you remember the last edition of WLTI Live we did, it was right after the daytime Emmys, where we had social media experts,
in quotes.
You can't see this, but I'm doing air quotes as hard as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Just going over all the action without being briefed upon it first.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who shows up on Funniest Wins?
One of those
social media experts who haven't been briefed on things.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically Last Comic Standing meets the interwebs.
Uh-huh.
And David Wayans hosts. Marlon Wayans. I get my Wayanses mixed up.
Yeah, but you want to know something? There's nothing funny about this. It's
absolutely, this is, I told you, it's B League, it's Bush League Last Comic Standing.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is that you have these social media people, oh God, it's, they're not, they hit me the wrong way. And remember, this came out right after the daytime Emmys. And you see that same person on there, you just give it an F on principle.
That's what I did. That's what I ended up doing.
You know?
It's like, some people out there may think this is funny. We don't.
No. Not at all. But you
know, not at all. It's more viral in the wrong way.
Right. Oh, and by the way, just one thing. Back to Rising Star, they canceled Whodunit for that. Seriously?
You could have had a second season of Whodunit. Instead, you're going for the voice light.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy. But you want... Okay, let's bring this up, because after the break, we are going to do some line reading. Between line reading, that is.
We're going to break out the fans later, right after this word... From I Want a Hairy Mary. Three men will have a chance to win a date with a bearded lady. She's not really bearded. She's in full makeup. But the guys don't know that. It's fun.
Yeah, she's bearded where it counts.
Keep it G, Jason.
All right.
Keep it G.
All right. Okay. Okay. So, but I have some here's the concept of read between the lines for those who don't know how this works. We're going to give you some statements. The statements, we are going to translate what they really mean. Okay?
Right.
Okay. For example, we are from, this is from Rising Star. Quote, we are so live that if you clear the wall in either the East Coast or the West Coast, you will advance.
Translation, we will advance who we want, wall be damned.
The true meaning, we still have no idea what the we're doing. Gordon's translation,
if we get two shots at the show, we'll look much better on the West Coast where our bosses are. Uh-huh. Which I didn't even think about now that he mentioned it.
Mm.
It just comes out looking ugly either way.
Yeah, it's not cool. Not cool. Next one.
Adam Richmond is sorry for his, quote, inexcusable remarks made over Instagram.
Translation. I lost one show and I'm trying to save Food Fighters in my Walmart deal.
Translation. Please don't cancel my show, NBC. Please don't cancel my show, NBC. Please don't cancel my show, NBC!
Gordon says, please, oh please, don't feed my career to Augustus, the game show zombie. Yeah.
Wait for it.
Yeah, anyway. Believe me, it's coming. Believe me.
It's coming.
It's not going to be man versus food. It's going to be zombie versus food.
All right. All zombie right. Food.
Next
up.
Uh-huh.
Wipeout. If you win, instead of giving you $50,000, or maybe in addition to giving you $50,000, you'll get to go to our Tournament of Champions for big prizes!
Translation? We have no budget this year!
My translation... Oh, wait a minute. I got a call from Gordon.
Oh, okay. What's that?
Yep. Oh, it's the budget department.
Okay.
They want to know how we're looking this season.
Oh, well, what do we got?
The network gave us enough for one big prize instead of 10 small ones.
How do you think they'll buy the tournament?
No, but Tom Bergeron needs a bigger dressing room.
Oh, great. They have to buy a tournament. Do you think you could sell the producers and contestants?
I think it can sell the producers and contestants. I'll make a call.
All right, fine.
All right.
Click.
All right, I'll talk to you later. All right?
Bye.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That was pretty much... I went even further. Three words.
Yes?
Cost-cutting victory lap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got this one. Here. Here's one from the Big Brother newest twist, which they announced last week. Tracking devices. Activity updates will rank the house guests from most active to least active, resulting in potential rewards or punishments throughout the season based on their liveliness or laziness. My translation? You will obey. You will obey. Those are slave trackers, man! Seriously!
That CPS pretending gets investment, dude!
You think?
No, not even close. My translation is... There are a few blunt objects and a hot chick and Jennifer Lawrence away from the Hunger Games.
Yeah, pretty much. Gordon had a pretty good one. He said, you interest the house guests, we pay you. You act like a monk, we make you entertaining whether you like it or not. And that's true.
Yep.
But I don't think they have to do much so far. They're doing a pretty good job of it on their own.
No, they're pretty much... They are entertaining, and if you ask me, a lot better than the group we had last year.
I think the ratings also show it, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Indeed.
Next one, okay. Last Comic Standing are letting the judges, not the audience, select who goes home.
Translation, America has a really checkered history of being dumb when it comes to public voting.
Good. America can't be trusted. Yay. Gordon's translation. We haven't had a real hit comedy since Seinfeld. We're going to handpick our next comic and shove it down America's throat.
Sort of like they did with The Office?
Yep. Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was The Office calling. They want to be shoved down their throat for another two seasons.
Yes, but Gordon says... You never ranked higher than 52. Let me repeat that. 52 in the ratings, and the only reason you lasted for 9 seasons because the rest of NBC shows stunk worse than 3-month-old sushi in Howie Mandel's greenhouse. Click.
He forgot to mention that The Office was an in-house production.
Yeah, well.
That always helps. And finally, because I can't possibly top anything Gordon would have said about that, American Gladiators is having another look, but they'll be less red, white, and blue, and no spandex. Spandex has left the building. I believe I said Hunger Games before this?
Yeah, exactly. Translation, we're going to make sure the show is nothing like the original we know and loved, and no one's going to watch.
And, oh wait, I have one more phone call.
Uh-huh.
Chico here. Oh, it's Gordon. Hey, Gordon, what's up? What's been doing better for us, comedies or game shows? Well, we have a Brave Vision break. America's Got Talent and Last Comic Standing and American Ninja Warrior all got renewed. Take something you still have the license for, throw it against the wall, and see if it still sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Will do, Chief. All right. I'll call you back, all right? Okay. Bye. Well...
Wait, you got it. Wait, your phone's ringing again.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, if you could watch our Thursday night lineup, that would be great. Gary Cole, lose my number. God.
Fine. All right, it's time to break. Speed round after this.
This break has been brought to you by World Cup Mafia Gladiators. The Gladiators invade the World Cup in events like ref bribing, cleat throwing, neck biting,
headbutting, and flopping and diving.
Luis Suarez hosts.
Yummy!
Nothing shocks me on this show anymore.
But you know what you know what's also not shocking?
What's not shocking?
The fact that we're starting the speed round now. Big Brother, does Devin survive the back door?
No, he does not, and he should have seen it coming.
Let me ask you, second question. Does he even get one vote against him?
No, he does not.
It's unanimous. Okay.
Unanimous. Devin goes bye-bye. Say hi to Paola for me.
Yeah, exactly. Watching Jeopardy this week, are we going to end anything, or do you think the team tournament is going to be better?
I think the team tournament is going to be better, only because we have no time left for a really big champ to start breaking out.
No, and the contestants this week, not so much.
We have not discussed America's Got Talent because they've been in a rerun cycle, and I believe yesterday's episode was a clip show. Will we see anything fun in Vegas?
You know what? We might, because they got to show us. We need to see that breakout star. We really haven't seen it yet, have we?
I don't think we have. We may see it in Vegas, but we may see it in the home viewer interactivity portion of the program, should AGT decide to do that this
year. I would love to see it, because even though the ratings are good, and, you know, you just talked about it, all three of the major reality shows this summer got another season, AGT.
Coming back.
AGT for season what? 10?
Season 10, Last Comic Standing, season
10?
I don't even remember how many seasons. I want to say 6. Ninja Warrior season 7.
Yep, they're all coming back. And let me just tell you something. The video this week about, let's mention her one more time. What's her name? The woman?
The woman? What woman?
The woman who completed the course. The bad.
Casey Catanzaro.
Yes.
Or as we're going to call her, Mighty Casey.
Yes. Hashtag Mighty Casey. Yes. But you know what? While we don't have email, we have a tweet.
Yes, we do. This is from our good friends at Game Show Garbage. At Game Show Garbage. Just finished writing the induction for Hurl.
Oh.
I honestly wanted to hurl in disgust of what I watch. WLTI on GSNN was right. Worst of 2008.
Yes, and you want to know something? We're going to be doing a Worst of 2013 special right after the World Cup ends. Now, let's just also give us all, let me give out all the addresses, and then we'll do some plugging, okay?
All right.
That would be, of course, my, talking about tweeting, of course, is at WLTI on GSNN. My specifically is at Beat the Block. Gordon's is at GSNN Haterade. Yours is?
At Dino R. Alexander. It's the most boring username ever.
Right. Of course, the email is WLTI at GameshowNewsNet.com. Yep. Of course, we have the YouTube channel and, of course, Facebook. Due to real-life circumstances, a few shows have been put on a little bit of a hiatus. Touch 'em All, I think, should be back next week if all works. We're going to talk.
I believe DC Lumberg might be guest hosting that.
Yes, and we'll be going to be talking Jim Williams' favorite guy, his man, Mike Trout, who won the All-Star Game, and Derek Jeter. And the fact that the MLB blew it with a lot of tributes that they didn't make to people like Tony Gwynn, Ralph Kiner, and others.
Right.
Eventually, we will get to a red state, blue state. North American Wrestling Connection is going to be back this week, talking about the Battleground pay-per-view and how the main event may have been spoiled already.
But we won't say how.
We won't say how, but we will let you listen into that one. We would like to also, I think the BS Big Show will also be back somewhat soon. We hope to have that happen. I hope
it's soon, because there's 50 days as we record this
50
until the NFL season begins.
Are you kidding?
Oh yeah, football, baby.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, and by the way, we have to talk about it, and of course college football as well. Just sort of as a funny plug, as you know, may or may not know, if you're not a geek, I apologize for the last minute or two. Weird Al Yankovic has basically been owning the internet this week with releases of music videos that have been for his parody for his supposed last contractual album called Mandatory Fun. And one of the songs that's on there is a song called Sports Song, which is a parody of pretty much every fight song known to man. If you find the video for it, and it should be out by the time you hear this, just look for it. It is absolutely spectacular, and it should be played at every college football game, at every college stadium.
Your sports team is utterly inferior. That simple fact is plainly obvious to see. We're gonna kick your college football superior. Of course you realize we're speaking figuratively. Our stats are thoroughly impressive.
Cut it. Yes, we can't play anymore due to, you know, we want to pay it, but check it out. It's hilarious. So, Chico, why don't you end it for us and take us home?
Well, dude, Jason, thanks for filling in ably as always, and thanks for putting up with me saying ably so darn much.
Thank you.
All right, we'll hopefully get Gordon back in time for the next edition of WLTI, where we will review dating naked.
Hopefully we won't be naked.
We will not be naked. That would just be gross.
Yes.
Okay, until then, for Jason Block and everybody at CLW83, I'm Chico Alexander. Our time's up. We thank you for yours. Game over.
And spread the love.
Interrupt.